Well, all right, that wasn't so bad. Hey, that wasn't that bad.
I think you were texting me on Saturday after the game saying that it's a definite sweep. So how do you feel about that?
No, that was not bad at all.
The L.A. Dodgers in town for three-game series, Shohei Ohtani.
Are you proud of the people for booing?
I am proud of the people. I think it's really well done.
You suggested, and they listened.
Well, vent. Now, the next time he comes into town, you don't do it the next time. You've done it. It's over. Don't act like you've been there before. You've done it. Relax. The next time, just
thought you weren't going to tell
like
people what
guy.
To do.
I'm not, but I'm saying.
Well, you did
in that
right
case,
there.
Well, I'm suggesting they do it. Shohei Ohtani. He came. He saw. He homered. Went 2 for 3. I mean, not a great series for Shohei Ohtani. 2 for 13.
Other than that
home run that basically stuck a fork in the first
and the
two
single
days.
That he hit 119 miles an 119 hour.
119 mile an hour single.
Yeah. Off of you say, yeah.
Which I do. Was that the hardest ball he's hit in his career?
I think
some
ever.
Such thing like
in
that.
The history of baseball.
It's a stupid thing. It's a single.
How hard he hit it?
It is, but still, it's a single. Would you think he would have Would you think he would have taken a double at 20 miles an hour less?
Yeah, but I think it's who's on the mound and what he's trying to do because
I know him
for a while and I'm just looking up to him and he wants to hit the ball as hard as he can.
Singles a single.
No, it's not.
Singles a single. Mm-hmm. The Jays avoided the sweep yesterday, as I predicted in my text exchange with Barker. An offensive resurgence by Kevin's Blue Jays, 3-1. Alejandro Kirk, apparently there's life in that bat.
Got to give him 2 days between starts.
And a homer.
So he's like a reliever. If you pitch him 2 days in a row, after that he's going to need a couple of days.
That's not necessary.
It's true.
That's not necessary.
I mean, there's a big enough sample size that will tell you. I'm just telling you.
That's not necessary. You,
hey, it doesn't take no khaki to tell us that the bat speed looks way better when he don't play a ton. No? You see how quick his bat looked?
I also saw how quick he got after that.
Yeah, did you see how quickly he got out of his crossed throw ball in a second?
Frisky.
The ball that was the swinging bunt down the left field line, and he was, I'm just saying, look, I'm not poking fun at that.
He was
I'm
like
just
a
saying.
Cat. He was like a cat. Well, pounced on it like a cat.
There's a blueprint. Let's not overthink this thing. Like, Danny Jansen can take care of squatting behind the plate, play Kirky when. You have to play him so you can see the best out of him. Maybe you'll get some more homers and he'll score some more runs that way.
The Jays have now got 4 games against the Kansas City Royals starting tonight at the Rogers Center. First pitch is 7:07. We've got a fun show today. Buck Martinez will join us. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Papelbon will be along as well.
I had a double off him in the minor leagues. Pretty sure I did. Paul Tucky.
So Pete Walker told us last week that he expected Kevin Gausman to bounce back. Best start of the year for Kevin Gausman. Stole a home run to Freddie Freeman. No walks, 5 strikeouts. He got 10 outs on his heater. They hit 5. Got 5 hits on his fastball. But it looked more like the Kevin Gausman we expected to see.
Yeah, I think after they got their butts kicked the first 2 games and then to have him come out and do what he did and only allow the amount of runs that he allowed with basically the fastball. Like, again, it's not how hard you throw it, it's where you throw it.
And his timing, he said afterwards, that whatever timing issues, you pointed this out, the timing issues that he had. And Pete Walker said last week, we fixed whatever the problem was. Kevin Gausman said after the game that essentially he thought that they'd fix that.
Well, Caleb Joseph did a really nice job on Blue Jay Central breaking that down when you're going down the mountain and it's just too quick, right? It's not connected and you're not driving off the hill the way you want to drive off of it. And that's sort of, when you're forcing whatever you're forcing, he's thrown a lot. And when you don't have the spring training you want to have and I ain't making excuses for him, but that's sort of, I think, what they're trying to do is, that's why they have spring training, is to let these guys get their feet wet and figure out mechanics and what it takes to be connected and be in sync and have the same release point and just so it comes free and easy, right? It's not forcing anything. Wasn't like turning around, looking at the scoreboard, worried about the velocities, was 89, 91. Look, I will say he's added a two-seamer. Yeah, that's a nice little pitch, right? You can steal some strikes with that thing. You get some weak contact. Guys thinking you get them geared up for a little extra velocity on the four-seamer. You throw them something, a little movement, that maybe starts inner third to a righty, goes off the plate. You get a jam shot. You get an easy out that way. Get you a little deeper in the game. So, I think he's trying to – I don't want to say invent, but sort of adjust on the fly on things that he can do to get some weak contact, get some cheap outs, make the split finger that much better. You know, don't abuse the slider. He ain't a good pitcher when he's got to throw a lot of sliders. You just ain't. So yeah. I'd rather, if I were him, throw another version of a fastball, take a little bit off of it, have it move a little bit more, get a cheap out that way, makes the split finger that much better. So now you can throw the fastballs basically the same amount you throw your split finger, which is, right, sort of what you want to do. And you have the velocity where you're getting these guys cheating a little bit to get the head out. He established the end of the righties really well. He established up to the lefties really well, which is what you have to do. You get him in swing mode when you got to think, oh, well, I think I got a little gear on it. I got to, you know, get this thing going and catch this thing out in front of my front knee, and now you can throw the split finger and get more swing and misses. So that's exactly what the doctor ordered. Would you love to see him score more than three runs? You know, so Tim Mays ain't trying to give it up or, you know, back into your bullpens, not throwing balls. You know, again, it's a lot to ask a pitching staff to hold a lineup down the way they're asking them to do. It's hard.
I was going to say they lost 4-2 on Saturday. You say Kikuchi. I thought you say Kikuchi.
I did too.
He was mad.
He was.
You could tell.
I love that.
He was.
He's signing that dude tomorrow.
He threw. I'm with you. Eight of his hardest pitches thrown this year.
I don't grow on trees. Where are you finding that at?
No. And he was. He was ready. I mean, he wanted to come out and beat Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. As good as he's been this year, I kind of saw a guy try to carry his team.
I think this is sort of, you know, you'd love to see do the same thing you're doing with an extra gear of your fastball, right? If you can throw the same amount of slow breaking balls, you throw the slider where you want it to go. You continue to pound the zone, outer thirds, upper thirds, lower thirds with the fastball. Then you can, you know, sort of maintain the same amount of the slider and the slow breaking ball that you've been doing the whole time, and, you know, have good misses with that. You could tell he was fired up. Like, he wanted to get after some guys. And, you know, I know Petey, when I think it was you asked the question about do they basically understand and know when your lineup's not scoring any runs, and Petey gave the, you know, the sort of
political answer.
Yeah, absolutely. They absolutely do. Like, they understand if they give up three runs in the first two innings, the game's over. Like, they understand that. So, yeah, I think you're seeing that from these guys. Even with Kevin coming out there and you know, the first pitch was exactly where he wanted it at the velocity he wanted it, which would tell you that pin before he walked out to walk to the mound between the lines was getting it ready, getting it going, because they now understand how important every run, every pitch matters this time of the year when your lineup's not doing anything. So, yeah, this is good. Like, that's what sort of what you want to do is take pressure off of everybody with the way you're throwing and commanding the zone.
The Jays still managed seven runs, only seven runs in the series. I mean, it is what it is. I hate to say it is what it is because it was J.P. Ricciardi's favorite saying, but it is what it is.
Who?
Ricciardi used to say that all the time. It is what it is.
He's the best GM ever in the history of Blue Jay?
No.
I had to ask because he wouldn't know me if I fell on him.
He did bring you up to the majors.
Well, he gave me my chance. Ask him.
He didn't say that.
That's exactly what he said on our show.
I know, but I mean, I just
been in big leagues three of the teams already.
That was his answer for everything. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was his answer for everything.
This is what they got. The talent's good enough. It's just now you got to do some soul searching. Like, you got to walk to the plate. It is good enough. The track record's good enough. If you get the right
pitches.
The recent
track record's not that great.
Now George Springer don't like the ball in as much with velocity. You got to try and lay off that. You got to try and get something middle or a little middle away that you can, you know, be a little late on and still have hard contact. He's good enough to do that. Bo Bichette is, you know, stop trying to hit homers in 0-0, 1-0, or 2-0 counts. Like, you know, we've seen him sort of in three different modes, right? We've seen him earlier this season trying to bridge in those counts, and we've seen him trying, you know, sort of guide it because he ain't getting any hits over the other way. And now the last couple of days, we're starting to see if he stays within mechanics and the bat path is right and he gets it in when he's supposed to get it in, the ball will just end up where it's supposed to end up, right? Like, we've seen sort of three different versions, but it's time. They've had enough at-bats that this is enough of this. And the Vladdy thing, look, that for me is mechanical. Until he just sort of realizes, in my mind, this is me talking, that he needs to make a mechanical change with his lower half. We're going to continue. That lefty that came in yesterday threw him five fastballs in a row. Now, I understand that the lefty he was facing, dudes are hitting 129 off his fastball. If I'd have told you 2 years ago that any lefty in baseball was going to throw Vladdy five fastballs in a row, basically was standing on the mound going, here you go, big fella. You know, I'm getting, you're getting
it. Yeah, I would not have believed you.
You would have called me crazy. You're smoking that good stuff. This is where they're at, right? And I just wonder what it's going to take for that to happen. And now turning like the ball up. So now you got to fight guys down, right? Like,
see, it's
when you
obvious.
Start hitting balls and teams make adjustments or the league makes adjustments, now it's up to you. And I believe they have talent. They have enough talent to do these things. They have enough bat speed. They have enough balance and rotation at the plate. They have good enough game plans off the field, I think, to not overthink it. Now it's, I right now don't care for this sort of pitch. I'm going to have to try and go up and fight not to get that pitch and lay off of it until I have to actually put it in play. So, yeah, I believe it. I just think that they consistently aren't doing that. Look at the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers are oozing talent, but, boy, they hunt middle. They're ready for velocity, which means I'm in an athletic position with my front foot, so if I need to hit it or foul it off, I can. But I'm ready to hit balls down the middle. Most guys on the mound are not pitchers anymore. They're throwers. If you let them, they will throw you one down the middle, but you've got to be ready to hit it. You look at the Dodgers. Gosman was eating their lunch with fastballs in, off, and up. They threw one down. He threw one down the middle and missed. They hammered that thing because they're looking for it. You can't hit it unless you look for it. That's my point. And I do believe that the Blue Jays can do
that. Now all of a sudden you've decided that the strategists are – the Jays have a real good.
No, obviously not, because
they can strategist.
No, I said I believe that every individual is not overthinking it. I'm not saying that the khakis aren't overloading and you know, ears popping off trying to throw. Now you wonder. I haven't been in the room, but I would think that the more you struggle, the more information you're getting. No, you would think, right?
I mean, I would think so.
I would think
why would you? I hope
not,
that's the
not
case, because if I'm going well.
It's not give me less.
Yeah, if I'm going well, why would I want more information?
Why would I want more if I'm struggling? But most of the time, if you try hard, it looks the way it starts to look, right? Where you're gripping the bat too hard, your lower half is all out of whack, you're swinging at things with two strikes you never swing at. That's Bo Bichette, right? Look, you can tell he's visibly frustrated because he gets a good one before two strikes, and then he gets to two strikes, and he's just sort of mentally trying to find it that he'll chase something that he normally doesn't chase. That's what I said. I think he is decently close because of, you know, just not trying to get past mental hurdles and those kind of things. But, yeah, look, they really have no chance or no choice, right? I mean, yeah.
A little Freudian slip there.
It was, yeah. But it's, look, I do think that if they just have the same game plan individually, every guy is different. If they do that, am I begging? I think maybe I'm begging.
I think you're begging.
So you just say quit, throw in the towel.
No, I just, you win games the way you won yesterday.
That's going to be tough.
Oh, it is. It's going to be very tough. It has been tough. But Shai had a stat on Saturday, which my attention.
Jay's
scoring 8 runs against the Yankees on April 6th.
Yeah.
Only 26% of the base runners they've had have scored. That is the fourth lowest in baseball. And don't bother looking at the teams behind them because you won't like it.
Yeah, I mean, Jay's one through four in the order, hitting .226. That's 13th in the American League. That's where it's at. I mean, that's why every boss that runs the Blue Jays have come on every show, and every time they've spoken to somebody, they've said the exact same thing. The first four guys need to figure it out. And
yeah, there's nothing coming that's going to help them. Like I wrote today, I heard we just don't even bring up Aurelvis Martinez's name. Just let him do what he's going to do in AAA.
Play second every day.
Oh, God, no. First of all, he's making a lot of errors. Secondly, the only thing this team does well is pitch and prevent runs. So I don't need him to play second base every day.
He's a three-run homer?
And the other thing, I don't know. Kenny?
How would you know?
Addison Barger hasn't yet.
How would you know?
Well, why would
you know by calling him up?
And so you're bringing him up to save the season?
No, but help the season.
Nah.
Yeah. Help the season?
No.
No?
You're not going to bring up your top prospect into a team that is two games under 500, a game under 500, and can't score runs because everybody's going to think you're bringing him up to solve the issue.
They tell us when they talk about him that they're impressed by the way he's grown into having professional at bat. Okay,
great.
Let's see it.
No.
Oh, why not?
Stay down there in AAA. Don't bring until. I don't want to see him until the AAA season's over or until these dudes have decided that it's time to punt. At that point, you can bring him up. But until then, no. Is he going to play every day? Addison Barger's not playing every day. What the hell's the point?
He's playing against
Rodgers. It's not Jackson Holliday we're talking about here. And the Orioles aren't the Blue Jays. So I don't – just leave the kid down there. Leave the kid down there and let him have a good season. He's not going to do anything up here. He's not. And as I said, you bring him up, what are you telling people? Well, we think he can.
Yeah, I don't care what I tell. But at this point, do you?
Yeah, well, you know, people. It doesn't matter. You know, people don't think that way. Yeah, it does.
It does.
I think it does.
It does.
Okay. I think it does.
I mean, I'm sure they'll care about the kid, which they should. And having a blueprint on when to call a young kid up.
Dude, you got a $230 million payroll. You should not be relying on a 22-year-old kid who is learning a position.
Yeah, I don't think they're asking him to come up and carry the team, helping out would be nice.
Helping out would be nice. Where are you going to play him at second base?
Who cares? Play him anywhere. Yeah. DH him. Play him anywhere.
That's just stupid.
You can put people anywhere.
That's stupid.
Why? Because you say that's stupid?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
There's some kind of marvelous blueprint behind the scenes that is the perfect right time to call a guy up. Yeah, come on, dude.
I think there is.
When?
I think there is.
Is it a certain amount of bats? Is it he's got to hit 900 in the minor leagues? What is it?
I think the Orioles have shown that there is a right time to bring a guy up.
That's the only reason that kid got off to a slow start in the big leagues because he didn't make the team out of spring training. And mentally, that'll mess you up.
Anyhow.
Yeah, what's he going to go minor leagues, hit 390 again? What's going to happen then? You going to call him right back up in 2 weeks?
Probably
what's
not.
What's the difference?
Probably not.
So it's not the easiest thing. Hopefully they can get it going to your point. But, man, it's like, stop telling us how good you think the kid's doing then. Don't tell us that anymore.
Okay, don't talk about him.
If he's that good, and if your team's struggling offensively the way it is at the big league level, what better time?
Yeah, that's right, because he might be the difference between fourth place and fifth place.
Maybe bring a little energy to other guys.
That's a hockey thing. Bring
no,
a little
not.
Energy.
No, it's
yeah,
not.
It is. Barger no, brought not. Energy? Has he made a big change?
Because he's not getting any hits.
Has he made a big change?
It's performance-driven, Jeff.
Has he
it's
made
like,
a big
it's
change?
Like Schneider coming up last year. He didn't bring energy? When he was raking and hitting homers and back leg
city. He got some hits.
A lot of hits.
Didn't bring energy.
It like broke records.
Didn't bring energy. What did that make? That makes George Springer a better player?
I had George Springer's, it's on the back nine,
energy.
I think.
That's silly. Broad energy. Next thing you're going to say that he helped create momentum.
Come on.
Just saying.
I played long enough to know the guy standing on the mound has something to do with that.
No. Something. It's got everything.
But when offensively you're really not doing a ton.
$230 million payroll, you should be able to find an answer. And you got 1,000 hitting coaches. You got Donnie Baseball running the show. But we're going to bring up this kid. Because he's hit some home runs. Because he's hit some home runs at AAA.
Jeff Blair said not. That's it, right? Again, they're not going to, I would think. Because they don't have a ton of places to put him every day. They wouldn't want to put him in left. Like they did Barger, like they're just running out of places to play in.
You've already got enough second basemen.
You do,
and they're not your issue. That's not your issue. Kevin Biggio's not your issue.
Absolutely,
David
not.
Schneider's not your issue. IKF not your issue. Ernie Clement not your issue. So I don't see why you would sacrifice defense. One of the things you do well. on the off chance that some guy hitting in the eighth spot is going to run into one. I mean,
Revis can't catch a ball right at him.
I don't know. Have you seen him? How many errors has he made? Six? I mean, second base?
I mean, defensively, it's basically the ball right at him. It's left or right. It's what everybody was telling me. But, okay, yeah.
Anyhow, I mean, speaking of the Jays minor league system, Brandon Barriera's agent sent out a tweet or whatever the hell you call it on X.
Well, you know what they call it. You just said X.
Yeah, sent out a what? Sent out something on X that Barriera is undergoing. He's getting the full meal deal from Dr. Keith Meister. He's getting
That's too bad.
TJ and a brace put on. So there you go. And, you know, that is of consequence for the Blue Jays, not because he was going to be anywhere near the majors this year, but
if you're looking to trade somebody.
If you're looking for trades, you've got Tiedemann injured, although he's not going to need surgery. You got this guy injured, done for a while.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? If you needed to trade somebody, it would be a Relvis. You would have to.
It's the only guy that's going to get you.
Maybe.
But he's going to come up here and save the year, according to you. So why would you trade him?
Maybe
he's going to come up here and play second base, hit cleanup, and hit like 10 home runs. So I don't know why you'd trade him. I don't know why you'd trade a Relvis Martinez. He's going to single-handedly save the franchise.
You know as much as I do. Or anybody, or any of them khakis that think they know when the exact right perfect time to call a kid up is.
Could be the greatest Blue Jays player of all time.
Let's be honest.
Could be the greatest Blue Jays player of all time. Bring him into this happy
boy,
situation.
When you write stuff and somebody thinks differently than you do, wow.
Well, no.
It's like, great. Boy, since I wrote it, it's got to be right. Yeah. Come on. Can we both agree that the first four guys can't hit 220?
Yeah.
How about that? We both agree on that?
We both agree on that.
There you go.
We both agree on that. Yes, we do. And we both agree that, I think, that when you watch the Jays outfield defense yesterday.
It's outstanding.
I mean, you know, I run prevention's boring. There's a couple of times a year when it's exciting. It was exciting yesterday.
The Springer play.
That was actually, you know what? I'm going to say this. This sounds really dumb.
Don't say it then.
This is a hell of a game. That was a good game yesterday.
I think the end of it, I enjoyed watching it. The end of it was really good, and Kevin Gausman commanding the fastball and not, you know, searching for velocity was pretty impressive. So I liked that part of it, and that was pretty cool. And Kirky going deep, which is – anytime anybody goes deep, that's a lot of fun.
So now because we don't see that often.
No, and you know,
I'm still seeing balls that I think are going out that don't go out at this place.
Yeah, I think every other team that has power don't have that issue. So I'm thinking it's more about the Jays than it is. And I've talked to people at the field.
And they say the
ball's carrying the way it should be carrying. So. And we've had on here.
We've had two or three people on this show that have said the ball's carrying
exactly the way it's supposed to be carried.
We've had people say
harder.
That. We've had people, but most of the time I think people are saying it's carrying during batting practice. I don't know what that means necessarily.
I mean, Freddie Freeman took a two-strike pitch and hit it off the center field fence.
Yeah.
Like three-quarters of the way up that sucker. Like, if he's doing it, like it's about how hard you hit it. It's about point of contact. It's a short and quick to the ball. It's staying in the big part of the field. Like, it's all those things that, you know, we tell little leaguers to try and do. And then when you add talent to it, you sort of got the Dodgers. I guess, you know, some things you can pay for.
707 will be the first pitch tonight. Jonathan Bolin against Yariel Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's going to go. They've never faced him before.
Bring a Relvis Martinez.
Slider four seamer. You're never going to let that go.
I am going to let it go. I promise.
Make sure you go read it. He wrote about it today.
That's the last time I'm going to say anything about it. Tomorrow it's Cole Reagans against Jose Berrios. Wednesday, Seth Lugo against Chris Bassett. Yariel Rodriguez starts tonight. Buck Martinez joins us at 3:00, and we will we'll talk to Buck about what to expect from Rodriguez. Now the Bowden Francis is
pitches per innings a big
Bowden
deal.
Francis is not here. How do you think John Schneider?
18.8.
plays this. How do you think he plays this? Who comes in after him?
I think you got to give him a longer leash. I think you got your catcher quick. Got to be on the same page. outer thirds, attack the zone. You got great stuff. Trust it. Trust your fastball. Command your fastball. We've seen that. Command that, and all that other stuff you want to throw will work. You got to command 18.8 pitches per inning. Just ain't good enough.
He lasted four innings in his last start against Kansas City, and
it wasn't throwing as hard either, right? It was the weather. You know, the fingers are fatter, like everything.
But we talked about it really didn't. That was not the greatest game in Blue Jays history either. That was the Addison Barger having the ball blowing by him and everything.
In the history of the Jays.
Again, Yariel Rodriguez had an issue putting hitters away. I'm just wondering, Kevin, facing the same team so close, does that make a difference?
No, I think you know, it'll be – obviously, the roof will be closed. He'll be able to control the environment a little bit better. He should be throwing harder, which will help a ton. You know, he's not so much a location guy as he is a stuff guy. But you want those misses to be a little bit more competitive. And how you got to two strikes, don't be afraid to trust that with strike three. Mm. Like, you don't have to all of a sudden try and be perfect with a slider on the black down and away to a righty after you got ahead of him with two fastballs. Like, attack, 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 because you have the quality stuff that you do have. And do it with some vinegar and do it with some velocity. He does that. I just think the 18.8 pitches per inning, that's got to get better. Get better quick. Because they don't want to be bringing in guys they don't want to be bringing in. And your answer to your questions, I have no idea who they'd bring in. They got a plethora of guys down there to go to. I mean, you could obviously start from the ninth inning and work your way backwards and sort of do the math on who you might think they'd bring in. But, I mean, Trevor Richards, I guess, or one of the two lefties. I mean, I'm sure they'll match up depending on where they're at in the order and who's on first or who's not on first, those kind of things. And controlling the running game is a big deal too, right?
Against this team. Ran wild on them.
Fourth best stolen base percentage in baseball. They're 29 for 33. That's 87.9%. They had five stolen bases in the four games against the Jays last time. And it's basically without effort.
Yeah.
Get better.
Jonathan Papelbon is former MLB closer and World Series champion, currently an SNL analyst and a contributor to Foul Territory. He will join us next. We'll take a look at the Red Sox and take a look around, and Tyler O'Neill in particular, and take a look around the American League East. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL, the J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7:07 will be the first pitch tonight, the first of four games. But what am I saying, four games? Three games.
You yelled at me, so I didn't care what you were saying.
Yep. I'm used to those four game series. Anyhow, 7:07 will be the first pitch tonight. We've got Royals and Jays tickets to give away. With our trivia question, tickets to see the Royals and Blue Jays at the Rogers Center this Wednesday, May Day, May 1st.
Mm.
And we will do that in the second hour. Buck Martinez, Blue Jays TV analyst, will join us as well as we look back at Ohtani Fest.
Mm.
And look ahead to the series against
Dodgers got a good team,
City Royals. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're really hard to pitch to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not certain I trust their pitching.
Well, I think they'll adjust that. They're going to have some guys coming back soon, too, which will help.
They got
a whole starting rotation on the IL. So.
And they've got enough dudes that they've got enough guys that if they have to, they can put together some sort of trade. Hey, what's happened to Gavin Lux, by the way?
They'll win 95 games because they can hit.
What's happened to Gavin Lux?
He's got some big holes in his swing. I mean, that's a lot to live up to.
2 years ago, he was the thing.
He's got some big holes in his swing. He's got a big swing. You don't like the ball up a lot of the times. You know, and again, it's just, you know, sort of when you're like that and you're trying to be like everybody else around you, which may be a little unfair, and people keep telling you that you're really good and you're not living up to that, it's not the easiest thing to go up there and have, you know, a nice, controlled, easy thinking the other way approach. You just, it's hard to do that. So, you know, he's been hurt a lot too, which is that never hurt. That never helps.
Right.
I mean, you got to stay healthy. You got to be predictable when it comes to that. You know, you just got to be in the flow of things, and you go from being the shortstop to not being the shortstop and hitting the top of the order to not hitting the top of the order. Like, it's a ton.
Struggling defensively, too.
And then you see all them studs around you. It's like, how do I live up to that? I fell in a little bit of that, too, when I was with Burnitz and Jeff Jenkins. When I was with the Brewers, I tried to be like them guys. They were left-handed. They took big daddy hacks. They hit the ball all over the place. You know, they could hit the ball line to line with power. I tried to do that, and sometimes it's just hard to live up to kind of those kind of things. And, you know, it's once the snowball starts rolling down the hill, it's hard to stop it.
Do you see anything out of the Dodgers that surprised you? Somebody maybe that stood out a little more than you thought, or something that, you know, was better than you anticipated it being?
Yeah, I knew Mookie Betts was really good. I don't think that I quite understood he's this good. He basically, it's Mookie and then everybody else is on the other team.
Yeah.
It's like he does it whenever he wants to do it. How many people you know can do that?
Yeah.
It's like if I want to steal a base, I steal it. If I want to make a great play in the field, I make it.
I look at him and I keep asking myself, how on earth did the Boston Red Sox not sign this guy to
money
12 years and whatever?
Then you say it's a hockey team or a soccer team. Trying to buy soccer teams, you want to spend it on that.
Well, they bought a soccer team.
And then you know you
want to buy a golf tour. This was before the whole golf tour thing.
And I'm not sure happened. He wanted to be a Red Sox anymore.
Maybe.
It didn't sound that way.
Maybe.
It takes two to tango, don't it?
Maybe.
I don't think we can always blame the team.
He's awfully good. He is so good.
I don't think it's good anymore. I think it's great. Like, the way he attacks at bats, the way you have a real tough time of getting him out two times in a row, the same way, how you have to change sequencing and the things he does on the defensive side, the way he runs around the bases, the way he goes home to third, effortless, just everything he does is like he's the best at all of it in my mind. That's just me saying it.
Yeah, I
and you just stick him in front of those two behemoths,
yes,
that he's in front of, and it's like,
but also,
and he's better than they are, and he is for me.
Which is crazy. I think he's,
and he does it the size he does it. He's a little guy.
Listen, I think he and Judge are the two guys I'd want to start my team with.
I mean, some
probably
would
more
argue,
so more so him because
Judge's size and the way he gets hurt. I'm not sure. You could argue.
And this guy clearly will play whatever position you want him to. And he was awfully good before he got Shohei
Ohtani.
Funny,
when you pay a dude a ton of money, he'll suck it up and go other places to help you out. Ain't that funny how that works? I'm saying. He looked like he's happy and smiling and having a great time. And,
yeah,
you know, I throw it the way I throw it from short, just like I'd throw it from right. It's elite kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it would be just stay if you're Dave Roberts. Just get out of the way.
He is a former MLB closer and World Series champion, NESN analyst, and Foul Territory contributor.
There he is.
He is Jonathan Papelbon. Jonathan, thanks for joining us on Blair and Barker. You look good. It's always good to see you. Tyler O'Neill, he's kind of a big deal in Boston right now, isn't he?
Man, this guy right now has... He has come into this organization and fit like a glove, in my opinion. Besides him getting that concussion, I mean, this guy's been one of the stable guys in the lineup every day. And you're talking about a lineup that has been decimated. I'm absolutely shocked the Red Sox are where they are right now.
Yeah.
I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're doing it, but you've got guys that have been stepping up, like in the pitching staff for sure. But Tyler O'Neill, man, I love this guy, man. He's the kind of guy I wish I would have played with.
What do the Red Sox, you think, need to do to be better? Not be great, not be a great team in the American League East, but be better and give themselves a chance to – they're 16-13. That's not bad. I mean, we would have thought maybe they could be 13-16, but they're not. They're 16-13. Is there something they could add sooner than later that would make them a little bit better and give them a decent chance?
Man, there's a ton they could add. But here's your problem is can you get the man upstairs to pull the trigger on adding more? You know, this group has gone into, in my opinion, they've gone into many different legs of this FSG group since I've played with them. And now they're into, man, we could go on, NASCAR, you know, hockey, soccer,
golf, yeah.
Yeah, golf now. I mean, you name it. So at some point, the Red Sox, I feel like, have gotten diluted a little bit. And it's not the old days of, man, we have, you know, Mike Lowell batting eighth in our lineup anymore. You know, I just don't think you'll see those lineups anymore. Today, I think, especially with Alex Cora at the helm, I think they're going more for these type of hybrid players now, man. Like, can you play second base and right field? Like, which is, you're on the same side of the diamond, right? So, And the game is changing right before our eyes, I believe.
You know, we've seen the Red Sox in the past win a World Series when not many people fancied them, right? I mean, the year Steve Pierce was World Series MVP, and I can remember coming out of spring training, a lot of the word in Boston was this could be one of the worst years the Red Sox have had in recent memory, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. They went on to win the World Series. Does that matter at this point with this group of players, the fact that the organization has done this in the past? Or Jonathan, is this organization, I think you were mentioning this, is it just changed so much now that that's so far in the rearview mirror that it's like comparing apples and oranges?
Well, I'm gonna end towards the latter part of that. Honestly and truthfully, I think those years are over with. You know, I go on Nesson and I do pregame and postgame with them and do some booth work and color. But I talk with Jim Rice a lot, who's a Hall of Famer, and he even explains this to me, how much it was different just in his generation. So you got to look at the game, and if you want to, it's that old adage, you know, if you can't beat them, join them, because the game's going to change. And if you're not willing to change, and I think we all go, I went through a little bit of not willing to change. You know, you're like, man, you get stuck in your ways, you're successful. But, you know, the type of player, the type of pitcher, the type of outings they want from starters, the type of bullpen guys they want, the injuries that are coming with it, there's so much, it's different. And so you have to be able to accept that. And I think that, man, those are times of the past.
I heard Alex Cora, I think beginning of the season or maybe start of the season, was talking about, his sort of future with the Red Sox, whether he wanted to continue to do this for long periods of time. Didn't seem to me like he was interested in doing that. Do you think that will happen? Do you think they may – maybe we'll re-sign him? If they have a good season, do you think he'll come back, I think's the question.
Well, this is a tough one for me, because I know right now he's not – and the reason why he gave that answer and you had that from him is because he's really not entertaining that right now. His hands are so full. He's having to – in my opinion, he's having to go out there every night and play chess without his queen. Like, without one of the best damn pieces. Every single night. It's either Devers is out, Tyler O'Neill was out, Costas is out, Pavetta is now been out, Giolito out. So, he's not playing with what other teams are playing with. In fact, when I was up there doing shows, they had what I called a 4A lineup out there. I mean, they didn't even have a big league lineup. Guys that are great in AAA, but they suck at the big leagues.
Okay, you're the perfect person to ask this. Hitting's down throughout the entire league. Do you think it's weather, or do you think the pitching's too good?
Man, weather, I'm not even buying that, to be honest with you. I'm not buying that at all. I'm buying the pitching. It's insane what guys are doing now, but with what they're doing comes a cost. You know, I mean, like, do you want the biggest and best piece of advice I ever got was from Mariano Rivera, and he told me I'd have to go out there and strike everybody out. You know, and you could go out there and get one pitch and get the guy to roll it over. Man, you're looking. You could pitch the next night, the next night, the next night, and guys just don't do that anymore, man. It's max velo, max spin. And, you know, this spin rate is funny because when I was playing with Curt Schilling, we wanted to see how many times we could make a ball do one complete rotation before it would get to home plate. And I felt like if the ball completely rotated four full times, then that means I had a good fastball that day.
Interesting.
That's cool.
We are seeing Yariel Rodriguez pitch tonight for the Blue Jays. And one of the, I don't know if I'd use the phrase issues, but one of the things people have noticed about him, and it's contributed to a lack of efficiency, this is a guy who's got six or seven pitches, but when he gets to two strikes, Jonathan, it's like he's searching for that pitch that's going to get him that strikeout. And we've talked about it. If they haven't hit your fastball, you know, why not throw him a fastball? What does it take for, and I understand he's a starter right now, and you finished your career as a reliever, but what does it take for a pitcher to kind of realize that I don't need my whole arsenal? You know, it's nice to have stuff in the hip pocket, but when it comes to efficiency, I've just got to, if a pitch has gotten me to a certain point in the count, I've got to stick with that. I don't necessarily have to start experimenting.
Yeah, you know, it's that age-old thing. If it ain't broke, do you fix it? You know, I mean, I think today, in the way the game is being played today, players want to go out there and max velo, max spin, and maximize strikeouts. Those big three things. And, you know, as a player today, you're just succumbed to that's what they're looking for. Even my son, man, my son is 14 years old and he has a radar gun in the garage and he sits there and hurls it and hurls it and hurls it. And he doesn't even listen to me. So, you know, it has become, in my opinion, an epidemic in baseball, and it will continue to be if this is the way, you know, we're going to run the game and the game's going to be ran. But I can't do a damn thing about it, that's for sure. I look at these kids coming up, and you can't tell them anything differently. But I analyze pitching, and I love pitching. But to me, this guy has six or seven different pitches tonight, and he's going to go out there and try to command all of those is absolutely impossible. That's ludicrous to think that I can go out there and have – it's ludicrous to think that I can go out there and have command three pitches A-plus on a night. That's ludicrous to think. You're going to have a great game if you can go out there and command two. You'll have a great – if you command three, you're looking at no-hitters and stuff like that. But as far as these six and seven pitches, man, yeah, in the bullpen, you get ready for your game. Go figure out what you – oh, I got pitch number four today, and I got pitch number three, whether that's the slider, the knuckle curve, or the swam boobly-bam, whatever, you know, they call these pitches these days.
Yeah, that's why he throws 19 pitches per inning, right? He's trying to sometimes get cute when you don't have to get cute. Milestone baseballs. I know you've done a lot in baseball. Like, you went through a lot of good things. A lot of good things happened to you. Did you ever do something that was important? You wanted the ball, and somebody else did something with the ball, and you didn't get the ball, and it made you mad, and it's sort of a funny story behind that. You got any funny stories
when it comes to that? Colton Cowser thing.
Yeah, with Kimbrel tying the –
firing it into the fountain at Kauffman Stadium.
Things like that.
Yeah, I feel like it happens to everybody, you know. Everybody. I mean, I don't have one specific one that I remember, but I remember when I – first broke like the single season, and when the first one you break, then you realize, like, okay, man, you go and tell your teammates, you say, when I preserve that last out and I get that ball, you always bring it to me because you never know. Just never throw that last ball away. But I did strike out, you know, Seth Smith to win the World Series in 2007, and Veritek kept that ball for me. And then the Hall of Fame wanted it, but out of nowhere, my dog ended up eating it. So
no, he did not. The dog did not eat your ball.
You know, unfortunately, the Hall of Fame couldn't get the ball. So I feel bad for him.
I could tell.
Yeah. What's the skull? Hold on before you go. I know there's a bunch of balls behind you. What is there any one of those balls that means something? Well, obviously they do, because you got them in a...
Not the one the dog ate.
Yeah. What are those balls?
Yeah, those are all like first wins, first saves, first strikeouts. My 100th, 300th save, tied ninth all time, which now that one's been broken. So, yeah, man, just stuff like that.
That's pretty cool. Awesome.
Jonathan, we're going to let you run, man. Great stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks Be well. A lot.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Jonathan Papelbon.
It's good stuff. Like, look, I didn't play long
you
enough.
The
to
dog
have,
ate his ball?
Absolutely. Have you ever talked to him before? Absolutely.
No.
I'm saying
he's keeping it from the Hall.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I think only him, only, you know, he's one of those people that I think could say that my ball ate it or my dog ate the ball. My dog ate the ball, and nobody's going to argue. Like, oh, yeah, probably, maybe. It's just fun. It's funny. You have to be around a long time to do those things. That's why I wanted to ask him about those balls. He's talking about his 100th save and his 300th save. I mean, that's, you have to do a lot of things in baseball to, you know, to have milestones like that. So that's pretty cool. I never was around long enough in the big leagues to
do that. Did you keep your first hit, major league hit?
Yeah. Absolutely. My mom and dad have everything that I have. My first baseball card, that's a pretty cool one.
I was going to say, what if I had to say to you that we're going to bury you with one thing from your baseball career, what would it be?
I have my first baseman's glove that I had when I went to the big leagues. That was it. The ball thing, that's looked pretty, my first hit. Yeah, I guess. I mean, and
the first baseman's glove is pretty cool.
Yeah,
actually.
It's pretty beat up because it, you know, lasted some in the minor leagues that year and a lot in the big leagues, and you know, it was pretty beat up and.
Yeah.
Just for it to last that long, you know, now you see him Vladdy's gloves break the way they are. It's funny. I never put anything on my gloves. Like never.
I never used the whole Neat's foot oil. Remember this? No. It was called Neat's foot oil was what you used to put in your.
And the beauty of that is I'd always put it in the microwave just to loosen it up, and then I'd go out and play catch with it. And the more I played catch with it, the looser it got.
Put it in
the microwave just to warm it up, to make it loose so you could move it around and stick your hand in it and sort of it would form around your hand because of that. And then throwing it. Like, I would throw a ball in it a lot just – sort of playing catch with myself back and forth.
Did you put it? What level did you put it on? Reheat.
You just put it in there until it gets warm.
Popcorn. The little thing that says popcorn. You push that.
No, don't overthink it. Okay. No.
Just wondering.
You just put it in there long enough till it gets warm.
How do you know?
Because
you know when it's long enough.
Because you get it out and it's flexible. Like it moves around. The leather will move around. It sort of forms around your hand. Because when you first get a glove, it's so stiff you can barely get your hand in it.
But I mean,
so you put it in there and you sort of put.
You did this. Was it the same microwave that people were putting food in and everything?
Really? Like, is there a different microwave? I buy one certain microwave for gloves?
No,
I'm using one glove. Now, you got to remember, too, I played 80 games or so in winter ball. So I not only played 100 and, say I was in the minor leagues, I played 130 games at first. I'd play another 80
in winter ball.
So you're looking at 220 games. And now I never had a glove break, ever.
How many gloves did you use in a year?
One.
Just one.
Yeah. Never had a glove break. I don't know what Vladdy's doing. That's weird.
Maybe he ought to stick it in the microwave.
I'm sure he's tried everything. I'm sure the company's worked on it and tried to make it better. And, you know, it's a sort of a black eye for the glove to be breaking.
The microwave.
I mean, it's
other
not.
Other guys
a,
do that too?
Not a, I have not. I don't. It, yeah, I hope so. It's like bone in the back, Jeff. In the bathroom.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Sink. Yeah. Yeah. You can't afford an actual, bone.
It always gets back to boning the bat, doesn't it? Buck Martinez is next. Don't go anywhere. It's Blair and Barker.
top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.707 will be the first pitch tonight as the Jays and the Kansas City Royals.
Are we doing a winning edition of Jays Talk after?
We're doing a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk after tonight's game. Yes, indeed, we are. Tomorrow is Cole Reagans against Jose Berríos.
Maybe not a winning edition.
Wednesday, yeah. Yeah.
Cole Reagans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jose Berríos. Seth Lugo against Chris Bassett. That could be it. That's an afternoon game. At least you know it won't be raining Wednesday afternoon. Or if it does, the roof will be closed, so it doesn't matter. They won't be calling the game 3 hours and 38 minutes after the way they did the last time.
Four games versus the Royals. They're 5-for-30 with runners in scoring position in the four games. That may have to get better.
You could probably pick any team and say that they were 5-for-30 with runners.
5-for-30 is not good.
It's not
second good. Lowest batting average runners in scoring position in baseball, the Blue Jays.
Behind them?
The White Sox.
They swept, though, this week. They swept your Rays, I believe.
Yeah, Rays not in a good place either.
Rays are not in a good place. Rays are in a worse place than the Jays right now.
Ooh.
They're behind the Jays in the standings. They're three games under 500 for the first time since April, like 2021. And that, I told you at the start of the year, that pitching magic, gone. Having said that, the Rays will probably finish second in the division and go into the playoffs.
Mm. They finish higher than the Jays?
No. I don't.
I think this is the year they take a step back.
I
sure looks that way.
Yes. I think there will be, unless things change here, because this is the one team that has the pitching to change things. My fear is that there could be a bit of a gap between Orioles, Yankees, and the next team. Now, they're playing each other. Their series starts tonight, I believe, the Orioles and Yankees.
Mm.
Let's see how that turns out. But, clearly, it goes without saying that somebody's got to start hitting.
Mm.
Captain Obvious, I know.
Great analysis.
Anyhow, Yariel Wright. Hey, you get what you pay for. Yariel Rodriguez is on the mound tonight for the Blue Jays. Let's bring in Buck Martinez. He is our Blue Jays TV analyst on Sportsnet. Buck, thank you for joining Blair and Barker today. Yariel Rodriguez is going to see the Royals again in a relatively short period of time. Any advantage or disadvantage in that matchup? And with Bowden Francis not here now, how do you think the Jays will play it with Yariel Rodriguez?
Well, I think he just has to, be a little more consistent. You know, he only went 4+3 batters the last time he faced Kansas City, and he didn't have very good fastball. He didn't have very good command, and I think that got him in a jam. He walked two guys in the first inning. One of them came around to score. Kansas City's going to run. We saw that in the series in Kansas City. And you guys got to keep the guys off base. You know, they don't have a lot of star power names outside of Bobby Witt Jr., and he's such a young player, and their Hall of Fame catcher, Sal Perez. But they play the game the right way. They got a lot of athletes, and they run the bases really well, and they got a pretty good bullpen.
Buck, anything that would tell you the first four guys in the Jays lineup are ready to get hot for a whole entire 3 weeks?
I tell you what, Bo, you know, I know Bo hasn't done anything, but he's 2-for-22, but he kind of looks the same to me. He's chasing a few more pitches, and, you know, but his swing, you know, he fouls the balls over the first base dugout, and we've always said, well, that's a good sign. He's getting close. But, you know, they've had a month's worth, over 100 at-bats now, and it's time for somebody to start clicking a little bit. Vladdy shows signs here and there. He had a ball pretty good over the weekend to right center. And, here we are talking about these two guys. They're hitting 100 points lower this month than they were last month, last year, in the same period of time. They're 100 points lower. That's a pretty dramatic drop for two guys. So, they need to do something. And George has shown signs that he's swinging a little better, driving the ball a little bit. But I'd say one thing, guys are playing hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things aren't going their way, but you watch the offense, the way they're making plays, the infield's making good defensive plays. Nobody's giving up on this team. And if you look at the Minnesota Twins, they were 7-13, and now they've won 7 in a row, so they're all of a sudden over 500. So it doesn't take much to get it turned around, but, you know, it's getting late. We're getting close to the second month of the season.
Buck, anything in past experiences that would tell you that mixing around the order, giving a guy a couple of days off? I know Chipper Jones been on our show a couple of times and said he used to go to Bobby when he was lost and say, Bobby, I need 48 hours. Like, it just ain't working. I'm a waste of time for you to write my name in the lineup. Any of that you think would help the first four guys?
I think, you know, Chipper, when he said that, was probably a little bit more experienced than the guys we're talking about right now. So he had a better feel for himself. But, you know, when you watch Justin Turner, and, you know, he does such a good job, and he's not really swinging great right now, but he gets his hits. And he's just so at ease and so calm, but he's got over 5,000 at bats. And we're talking about guys that are just over 2,000 at bats. So, yeah, there's no excuse. I mean, you know, you watch Robbie Witt Jr., and he's younger than these two guys, and he's tearing it up. So it just gets down to the players. And you know, I don't want to hear about the coaches. They need to change their voices and all that stuff. The players got to come through. Mm-hmm. And they're giving them enough instruction. They're giving them enough work. They're working hard. But the players got to start getting some hits and figuring it out. And that's what Dave Roberts told us about his team over the weekend. He said, you know, we just reached a point where everybody was tired of striking out. And they made up their mind that we're going to find the outfield with some base hits. And all of a sudden, things turned around pretty dramatically for them.
Buck, after watching Kevin Gausman yesterday, you know, we had Pete Walker on Friday, and he basically said, look, we figured out a mechanical thing with Kevin. He is going to be better in his next start. Clearly he wasn't. Kevin mentioned afterwards that it was, it was a timing issue. He really did, though, look like almost like mid-season Kevin Gausman, didn't he?
No, he sure did. And considering what the Dodgers had done in the first two games, I think you have to give him even more credit because he was able to locate his fastball. And here's what, spring training is long for a reason. So these starting pitchers can build up. And unfortunately, some of the Blue Jays starting pitchers are having their spring training in April.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just the fact of it. Kevin couldn't pitch a lot in spring training for various reasons. And when he started building it up, this is what you're supposed to do. And Chris Bassett told me right at the start of spring training, he says, you get in shape to get in shape. And it takes 5 or 6 outings in spring training to get your timing down. And Kevin's got a lot of things going on with his delivery. He's got a very exaggerated leg kick. His arm swing is kind of unusual, but it all has to come together. Just like a hitter, Kevin. You know, hitters have timing and their mechanism. They get their foot down, their hands go back. Well, pitchers are the same. And when pitcher's timing is right, the fastball comes out of their hands easy. It's not a laboring motion. And I think that's what you're going to see with Rodriguez tonight. It's going to be much easier velocity. He's going to be able to hit his spots. I think he'll have a much better outing tonight than he did last time out.
Buck, since the 17th, Alejandro Kirk, I think, has played on the 17th, had 2 days off. Played, had 2 days off. Played, had 2 days off. Just look to me like bats quicker. Movements are much more crisper. Like he's just moving around. Like it's, you know, he's feeling frisky a little bit out there. You think they found a little blueprint on how they want to play him behind the plate?
Yeah, I think he played too much right there with Danny being hurt. He had to. And you know, he's made 19 starts already. And that's a big load. And we're a guy, you know, he's not the best physical specimen. Everybody knows that. But at the same time, when he's rested, he can hit.
Yep.
And I love the direction of his hits yesterday and hit the power ball to out of the ballpark and right. And that's the way he swung the bat in spring training. You guys saw him swinging the bat in spring training. Everybody was encouraged by that. And then Danny gets hurt and he's got to catch every day. So I think that wore him down a little bit. And yeah, I think now the coaching staff understands that he's probably best if he plays a couple of days a week and Danny does the rest.
Okay. So now we've had a chance to see the Dodgers up close. They offensively, they certainly came as advertised. Buck, how do you navigate your way through that lineup if you're an opposing pitcher?
Just like Kevin Gausman did. You make good pitches. You see what they did at the top of the order yesterday? You know, I know Betts finally got a double in the 8th inning and Freddie hit a home run, but other than that, he held them in check pretty effectively. And you know, and I don't care how hot you are, on how good you are. If a pitcher executes his pitches and sequences the pitches properly, he's going to get you out. And history suggests that because even the best players make seven outs every 10 at-bats. So you just have to execute your pitches. And I think what was happening with the Blue Jays early on, their pitchers were making their mistakes over the heart of the plate. Now when they miss and it's gone around a little bit and Kikuchi's been good at it, Bassett's been better at it, Gausman looks like he's got it now. If you don't hit your spots, you want to miss off the plate. And that's what was so good for Kevin. He got the ball inside to the right-handed hitters that made them honor that inside strike, and then the outside became a good spot for him. So, yeah, it's no mystery. You make good pitches to good hitters, chances are you're going to get them out.
Buck, first impressions of Brandon Little is what?
I love Brandon Little's stuff. He's just got to figure out how to get it in the strike zone. I've liked this kid ever since I first saw him in spring training. He's got special stuff, Kevin. It's one of those guys that you look at and go, man, if he could ever throw that over, he's going to be really good. But he's had some trouble with that. And that gets back to mechanics and delivery, and I think Pete's worked hard on that. But, he didn't have a great first outing, but I think if he understands that sometimes we give hitters way too much credit, and you have to give yourself credit for the quality of the stuff that you're featuring on a given day. And I think if he gets that and understands it, pitching ahead, pitching aggressively, and throwing it over, that's the best way for him to approach things.
If you want to keep Jimmy Garcia looking like Jimmy Garcia that we've seen early on, how would you do it if you're the manager?
I'd do it the same way they're doing it now. I'd save him for the heart of the order in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning and make sure that he's fresh and don't pitch him in non-crucial situations, and his stuff has been good. It was down a little bit yesterday, but overall, I mean, for what, 12 outings now, he's been as dominant as any pitcher in baseball. So, yeah, it's just a matter of managing his pitches. He's a smart guy. He works very hard to stay sharp, and he's got five quality pitches. And, you know, generally, Kevin, you've seen relievers come into a game, and they generally have two pitches, and they may have three, but they won't throw all three to platoon situations. You know, they'll save one for a left-hander and use one for a right-hander. But he's got five, and he can throw them any time. And I think that's why he's been so dominant.
Buck, you've been in a lot of clubhouses, and I'm sure you've been in clubhouses where one side of the ball is really good, the other side's not. Sort of like the Blue Jays, right? Pitching's really good. Hitting, obviously, is not. And I've been in some clubhouses where the side that's going really well is not afraid sometimes to pop off to the side that's not, right? Sort of that, don't be afraid to catch up. Let's start getting this going. It's about time. Is there any worry of that, you think, in this clubhouse of, I know they're good people. I've been in there. I've talked to them. But, Buck, you know as well as anybody, these are grown men. Like, this is how they make their living off of, you know, you're a hitter first, then you are a defender first. And when you're not hitting, you get a little moody. Is that a thing? You think that's an issue going forward here for the Blue Jays? That's something they need to worry about.
I give you 100% correct credit because I agree with you 100%. It is an issue, and guys do get moody when things are going well.
Yep.
You got to do a tremendous job to separate the two. If you're a position player, separate defense and offense. But, you know, I don't get a sense that it's an issue. I think these guys trust each other. I think they've got a great leader in Justin Turner. And I know Turner has looked around and said, what are we doing here, folks? You're swinging at pitches when the guy's not close. And I think he's called out the players when he needs to say, hey, let's get back to having good at-bats and get good pitches to hit. And you can't hit if you're chasing pitches out of the zone. So I think they've got a good voice in that clubhouse in Justin Turner. And, you know, even though he's been here just a couple of months, he's well-respected. And I think when he speaks, everybody listens.
Yep.
Buck, really good of you to do this, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Buck.
All right. Good to be with you guys.
See you, buddy.
Buck Martinez is our Blue Jays analyst on Sportsnet, and 7:07 will be the first pitch.
Yeah, the only reason I brought that up is I was watching the Leafs game the other night, and you know you got your three
saw
better
the stuff on the bench.
Well, you got your three better players, right? And look, they're human beings. Like they, you know, when one guy thinks that the other guy's not or doing his part, or you know, is talking too much or complaining too much, I've been in enough clubhouses. I've seen that, and they're grown men, right? So I'm not saying that would turn out to be an issue, but you would think that because it was happening so much last year And now it's just sort of carried over into this year.
You mean?
Like the offense is not hitting, the pitching's carrying the team.
You don't mean that there was an issue in the clubhouse last year?
Who knows? I have no idea.
I just wanted to make sure when you said it was carrying over, you were talking about the lack of hitting carrying over.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure.
Not hitting.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
And I just wonder if that's something that John may be, maybe next time we have him on, we'll ask him about conversations with, people that have a bigger voice in the room that...
The only thing I would say about that is I wonder if... these guys have been together for a while now. Chris Bassett joined them last year, but Kikuchi's been there for a couple of years. Berríos has been there for a couple of years. Gossman's been there for a couple of years. Bo and Vladdy have been around. Justin Turner's the newcomer, but, I mean, he's going to fit into any clubhouse. I wonder if that's less of an issue when a group knows each other.
Yeah, I think that would be worse. Like, you know somebody, what little words you could say to them to tick them off or
Vladdy, this
start
is 2 years.
Enough, yeah. Man. Like, I'm doing my part. I'm 35.
Yeah.
Like, you're 24. Let's go. Let's get this going. They're human beings, and I'm not even saying that's part of it. I'm not saying that's what's going on.
No, but it's a valid, holy moly, man. Like, it's a valid question.
Once in a while, what do you think goes on in team meetings? You think it's lovey-dovey and let's all meet at a restaurant? Absolutely not.
No,
it's basically a call-out session.
One side's
doing it, and the other side ain't doing it. I just wonder if, sooner than later, that's not going to take place, and other guys are going to start going, okay, now, we've made adjustments. We've quietened down our windup to allow us to throw more strikes to give us our offense a chance to score runs, and you ain't guys ain't scored. Like, it's part of life.
Well, you know as well.
That's just the way it is. I wonder about that.
You know as well as I do that one of the issues when Charlie Montoyo was here towards the end was...
Well, he's finger pointing.
Yeah. And
nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that.
No. And you lose the room that way. I'm not saying that the coaches do that. I'm saying, it's one thing for Turner to walk up to somebody quietly and say, why are you swinging at that? Than to call a meeting and actually point the finger at somebody. I've been in rooms where they've done that. And that don't go well. That's grown men who make tons of money. And money matters. It's a trickle-down effect on how much money you get. You get louder the more money you make. That's life.
No, I believe
that's the way it is.
And when you start having
the finger pointed at you, if you're not doing well, it's starting to go, woe is me. And then people start, acting the way they wouldn't normally act. That's all I'm saying is sooner or later, this thing's going to boil over. Like, it just is. I mean, just look at that. You look at those numbers. They stink. Sooner than later, something's going to come to a head and somebody's going to say something they probably shouldn't say, or maybe they should have said a long time ago. And it just, every once in a while you need to be in your underwear and go toe-to-toe. I mean, it's been done.
In your underwear.
I've seen it many times in minor leagues, many times, where it's hot and we're eating sub sandwiches and people are just tired of each other. It's like, everybody thinks it's lovey-dovey in there. It ain't. And now that you're stinking at your job, it's really not. It's really hard to show up to the yard and be, happy to be there. I know they're making tons of money, but they want to do well. They understand when they don't do well, me and you, people like us have to go on these shows and say bad things about them. And they listen. And they don't like to hear that. So I just wonder about that. That Leaf thing when I saw that sort of – because I've been in rooms like that. I've been in clubhouses like that. I've been around where managers – are calling players out and saying their name, and you know the manager. I ain't saying that. You know the manager.
Yep.
And it's never a good thing, so I wonder. I wonder if you can get in front of it. If you're a coach or a manager or a GM, get in front of it.
I mean, I saw that thing on during the Leafs game as well, and I've sort of made this point, and I don't want to belabor it because I understand that the sports are completely different sports, and hockey playoffs are very much their own animal. But the Leafs have had Matthew, Marner, Nylander. That is their version of Bo and Vladdy.
Yep.
And it's not just a lack of postseason success. It's a cataclysmic way in which the postseason ends. And that's the thing with the Blue Jays. You know, and I know Mark Shapiro made this point with Ross Atkins. You know, the team has gotten to the playoffs three times since. But how did those playoffs end? And certainly the Seattle series, I never thought that was cataclysmic. That happened at home. And I didn't think I'd see anything like that. Now, the series in Minnesota, see, I don't think that loss was as egregious as the loss to the Seattle Mariners was. But because of the way it was handled, I think that kind of, that just added fuel to the fire. And yeah, it's been kind of a good run for Toronto sports, right? You know, the Raptors won. The Leafs have been interesting. TFC won at one point along the way. You know, the Jays in 2015 and 2016, they had, you know, Batista and all those guys. Like, there was a while where things are really good here. But now it just seems as if the Leafs and the Jays are kind of joined at the hip a little bit in disappointing people.
Do you think that was a bad look?
And I don't want to, because I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Leafs.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about those three guys.
It's similar to the Jays, so that's why I ask.
To me, throwing the gloves is a bad look.
Yeah.
Yapping at each other.
Yeah, it's part of it.
This isn't freaking Junior. That's part of it.
That's part of it.
But when you have, and I know people are going to, but when you have kind of a visible demonstration of frustration, to me, that's different. To me, that's different. But, you know, now it's not teammates getting in a fight in the dugout or in the tunnel, or managers getting in the fight with the players in the tunnel. But, yeah, you can... I see. I don't think it's a problem showing anger with a teammate, but I think when you show frustration, that's different. And that's why, to me, when I saw that Mitch Marner throwing the glove, that's just kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know who would yell at who for the Blue Jays. Like, there ain't one obvious guy. Dalton Varsho is not going to yell at anybody.
See, I thought, I wondered on Friday when Chris Bassett made his comment about some adjustments, and he was very blunt after the game. After the start.
Seemed like team-wide, not himself. He's talking about?
That's what I was kind of wondering. But
how? Who?
Yeah, I look, you can't, this sounds, you can't fool the players. The players in that clubhouse know who's doing what and who isn't doing what. And it's got to be frustrating because the same thing we talked about last year, pitching last year, that was good enough to win a playoff series. I don't know if it was good enough to win a World Series.
You could have made a run at it.
Sure.
I mean, if they're scoring any runs whatsoever, you could have made a run at it.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could match up bullpen-wise. I mean, they had to make the right move all the time, but you could have made a run at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a lot of luck there, but no question. I just think it looks like Groundhog Day, and I wonder how long they could take this. That's all. Like, sooner or later in that room, because I've been in that room a couple of times since the season started, I try to stay out of there as much as possible. I mean, I try and catch them on the field. But occasionally you got to go in there because, you know, guys are – sometimes I think when it's hit the fan, they're not around as much. Like, they're – it's not. I was the same way. Like, every player that is struggling, you just want to go off by yourself and try and figure it out. You don't want to be around people. You don't want to have conversations. You know, you're not lovey-dovey. I mean, you're not Barrios or Yusei Kikuchi having an outstanding season. You're just not that. You're trying to figure it out. You want to do that as quiet as possible. And, you know, I just wonder, it's very quiet in there, which I guess it should be, but it's just, this is what I said. If they could just, again, watching the Dodgers, and I'm not by any means saying that they have the same amount of talent that the Dodgers do, and I do mean you sometimes get what you pay for, and that's sort of the way the Dodgers are looking. I just think that the way they were hunting every at-bat, why can't the Jays do that? Why? It's almost like the Jays give the pitcher way too much credit. It's almost like a lot of them are beat on the on-deck circle before they ever get to the plate. And that part of it, I just don't understand. Who do you blame for that? That's the question is, who do you blame for that? And that's why I think this can get better, because that is self-inflicted. You can go up and look down the middle. If I'm ready athletically for velocity, I can adjust everything else if I'm looking down the middle. I think that's a simple approach, no? It's not that way. It's a very individual thing. How do you get in an athletic position? Everybody does it different. Everybody starts different. You can close your eyes and picture 1 through 9 how they do it. But they all can look right down the middle. That's all I'm saying. Just go back and look at how many Dodgers, those hits that they hit hard, were right down the middle. That's all. Like, they're getting more down the middles than they are not getting down the middles. And if you just have a simple approach, because you do have enough of everything else, you may not be elite at all of it, but you got enough of it to start stringing together things and have confidence doing and make a little run. They got to score 9 runs a game.
Yeah, I guess what I've kind of noticed this year, and this probably stands to reason, given the fact that they aren't, you know, what? How many games with 5 runs or less? 20 now?
A lot.
20 games with 5 runs or less?
I stopped count.
Something like that. Opposing pitchers don't seem afraid.
I get back to the lefty throwing Vladdy 94,
exactly.
5 fastballs in a row. It wasn't 99.
It's
100.
Not like he's
94. Now, again, he's got a good sneaky heater.
Yeah.
But it was 5 in a row.
And it's not like they're always painting with them.
No. That's all. I got my own thoughts about Vladdy's lower half, but I might be the only one in that camp. It seems to me like nobody else around him thinks the same way I think. And I think sometimes you got a big enough sample size, you got to, you know, just because you don't want to, sometimes you have to. I think Vladdy, for me anyways, in that have-to camp. And that's all.
Bo and Vladdy, by the way, in that series against Kansas City, 4 for 29 in that 4-game series.
5 for 30 with runners in scoring position. I mean, that's team-wide. Just the quality of bats that they are not having. With a dude standing at second and third. Even the runner at third and less than 2 outs has got to get better. If you got to choke up to the label. To put a ball in play. Like Varsho the other day, second and third, hit a ground ball, got him in, got him over. That's a productive at bat. Like, that's, you're killing 2 birds with 1 stone there, because you're passing the baton to the next guy and making it easy for him to drive the guy in without getting a hit. Like, that's how you do it. They just need a lot more of that. Like, you just sometimes have to buy into it. And, again, it's hard to do that when you're struggling. It's just hard to have the team approach, Jeff. You've been around enough teams to know that. That when a dude that you are counting on is struggling to buy into the team approach, hard.
We've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Barker. Here on Blair and Barker.
Yep.
Here on Barker.
About time you admitted it.
It's Barker, starring Kevin Barker, with Kevin Barker. When we come back, we're going to give you a shot to win tickets to see the Jays
and the
Royals on the Barker Show with Blair on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's give away these here tickets, shall we, Mr. Barker? We've been giving away tickets all season long here on Blair and Barker. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 590-590. Our last trivia question and answer was Royals fan Caleb Humphreys, also known as the Amish-looking dude, caught a controversial home run off the bat of which Royals player in the 2015 ALCS? The answer was Mike Moustakas. Had the Blue Jays had a healthy Brett Cecil, they would have won that series.
Huh.
And they would have gone on to the World Series.
Would they have won it?
Yeah. Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and the Royals at the Rogers Center on Wednesday, May 1st, May Day. Which team did the Royals... This is easy. Which team did the Royals face in the infamous Pine Tar game featuring George Brett? Again, which team did the Royals face in the infamous Pine Tar game featuring George Brett? Text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. See rules at sportsnet.ca/590. There you go. Afternoon baseball on Wednesday. The Royals recalled Jonathan Boland today. He will start tonight. He is taking the place of Alec Marsh, who, as you remember, was knocked out, literally, out of the game by Addison Barger in Kansas City. The Royals have lost two games in a row, Kevin, but they're 17-12. It's the fourth best record in the AL, just behind Cleveland. Hands up if you called that. New York and Baltimore. They're the third team in MLB history to win 17 games in the first month of a season following a 100-loss season. So this is not, obviously, we've talked about it, it's not the greatest division in baseball. But they are definitely the Royals. They're definitely going in the right direction, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they manufacture runs by the stolen base. They keep the other team from scoring. I mean, they have the... What they're allowing a major league best 3.1 runs per game. I mean, that's about as good as it gets. They score a lot of runs in the first and second inning. I mean, Dan Shulman always talks about that with the Blue Jays on how many runs they don't score. They're fifth best in baseball at scoring in the first and second inning with 39. I mean, that's a lot of runs, right? So if you're the Jays pitching staff, at least early, you got to hold them off the bases. They have a catalyst behind the plate. I mean, he's like throwing to a barn door as big as he is. And I mean, you see how small his catcher's mitt looks when he's holding it up, and just the way he controls the game. And you know, and then I saw that stat where Salvador Perez has hit the most home runs by a catcher since 2021 with 101. And I ask you who was second, and you told me Danny Jansen. And that's funny for me because Danny don't play a ton. If Danny played a lot, that would have been a really good guess, but he don't play a lot. Will Smith is second in line with 70. So he's hit 31 more home runs.
Than Will Smith.
Absolutely. Then the second best home run hitting catcher in baseball. Yeah, I think they got right now in that division they're playing in, they may have enough. Not saying they're going to win the division because this is a marathon, not a sprint. But I do think they have a superstar in Witt Jr. who can do anything. I mean, he hit velocity. He can hit a breaking ball. He can steal a base. He's getting better on the defensive side. He can run the bases better than most people can run. You know, he can do basically anything you want him to do. We talked about that behind the plate. It's just the pitching. You think consistently that they could have enough pitching to keep other teams from scoring. That'll be the question. And again, you know, I think they need more power at the back end of the pen. You just need more swing and miss back there. But you can't argue, I think, with the superstar they have, with the, you know, the older veteran presence behind the plate. And I think baseball's better when Kansas City's good. I do. I think I like watching Kansas City play.
I do, too.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I do.
They haven't had a winning record since 2015. I'm just reading their game.
Yeah.
Their run differential through 29 games is the best in franchise history right now. It is plus 43, which is just behind Atlanta and Cleveland. And, yeah, listen, they I mean, I'm with you. It's a cool city. It's a neat franchise. It's a historical franchise, and and Dan has talked about the lack of offense in the early innings.
Well, that's because 1-3-4 is hitting 226. I mean, that's why I brought that up. The difference is, I'll give you an example.
Now, we saw that yesterday. They scored in the second
inning. I'll give you an example. Kansas City's 1-3-4 is hitting 268. That's fourth in the American League. So you got fourth and 13th. That's the difference. Stars are being their stars. The Jays stars are not. Like, you know, I mean, it's basically as cut and dry as that. And maybe if they figure it out, they'll be a little bit better. I just think Kansas City right now, you got to beat them. Doesn't look to me like they're beating themselves. And you got to play all parts of the game. Can the Blue Jays tonight hold a runner on first base? Like, you know, I'd be running if I were on the other team. Like, because the pitchers are just not good at it. I know Petey gets mad at me every time I say that. He tells me some cack. He's telling him that this, that, and the other, that they're better at it. I just know what I'm seeing, and what I'm seeing is people running all over the place on you. That's second and third.
Well, I think you made the point very early in the season, though, that one of the reasons the Jays work so hard on that pickoff play at second base.
Because they're giving up a ton of stolen bases.
Because they give up a lot of stolen bases.
It's about stuff, right? Do you want people taking away stuff because they're trying to hold a runner at first base? And what is that pitch clock, pitch com, or whatever you want to call it, done to that? Is it, can you slide step? Can you quick pitch him? Can you hold the ball? Like, there's a lot going into this. I mean, Rodriguez got five pitches. He'd have to get the sign quick to be able to control the running game. Stand there and hold it. Quick pitch, like, you know, stand and hold it one time. Quick pitch the next time. Like, change it up so many different times, because it looks to me like a lot of people running. People that normally don't run are running on the Jays. That's even with Danny Jansen behind the plate. So, and that's something I think if you're going to be a run-preventing team and your offense is going to score less than four runs a game. It's just a lot. It's a ton to ask, Jeff. It's my point. You're asking them not only to pay attention to the guy, and now you're starting to give up more homers, too. They give up a lot of homers. Like, last year, they were pitching down a lot. Their misses were really good. It was below the knees. It's very hard, right, for a hitter consistently to be good on the ball down, catch that thing out front, and get it in the air. It's just real. It's hard, right? So your misses, their misses were really good. Now, maybe because of a lot of different reasons. But there's a couple of things, you know, the rotation, the pitching staff as a whole sort of needs to try and work on a little bit better and keep it in the yard, control the running game. Do they care? That's the question. I don't know if they care or not. As long as they're giving up more solo shots than two or three run shots, and as long as that dude ain't scoring, do they really care? I don't really know the answer to that, because every time I ask Pete that, the pitching coach, he yells at me.
But that's always kind of been a thing with this team, is the emphasis is, and I kind of get it. The emphasis has always been on stuff and attacking the hitter at the plate. I kind of understand that. The thing that would give me concern about that is, I think that could probably work and probably worked in 2015, 2016, 2017, but we are seeing the game skew.
Yeah, they were scoring more differently too.
And that's the other point I was going to say is, if I'm a pitcher and I know that my offense is capable of scoring 3.5 or 4 runs a game, or 5 runs a game compared to 2 runs a game, I'm probably going to approach. It's going to mean having a runner in second base means something different to me in that situation than it does when my team isn't scoring.
I'm sure a lot of
I don't know
too.
How you
– It's out.
I don't know how you find that balance.
Well, you got to adjust. Like, right now you don't have a choice. You know, we've even seen Kevin Gausman slide stepping with a runner on first who can run a little bit. It's not even the great runners. And you've heard Buck say you're not going to throw out the elite base stealers, but you can hold them on closer. You can make it a little tougher for them to get a jump instead of over there and bouncing around and jumping in.
To me, it's not the elite base stealers are going to steal. It's you made this point, and Buck made it in the telecast. It's some of the other guys that are stealing bases.
Freddie Freeman's trying to steal a base off you.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Sorry.
But
he's a good base runner, but he ain't a base stealer.
No, and it does show you, though. You see, opposing teams will tell you what they think of you in those situations.
It's like if you're lefty throwing Vladdy five hitters in a row.
That tells you.
Oh, he's telling you, you can't hit it.
Yeah, that's telling you what the organization.
He feels like you can't.
And you know where that, I mean, that comes from, obviously. That's in the meeting, the hitter's meeting or the pitcher's meeting where they're.
Or I'm sitting in the bullpen and I'm watching Vladdy miss fastball after fastball after fastball. I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to go, hey, why flip him one to speed his bat up and give him a chance? I've told you this. His point of contact, because of his hand path, has to catch it out front. That's in front of the front leg consistently. And just every time that Sportsnet shows the side view of him taking a pitch, a catcher's throwing it back for his front foot's down. I mean, again, I ain't trying to be hard on Vladdy, but, man, this is getting back to my point of when one side's really getting it done and the other's not, and you start getting some tension there. And they're human beings.
The Jays lineup for today's game: Springer, Guerrero, Turner, Varsho, Jansen, Schneider, Biggio, Kiner, Falefa, Barger, no Bo, against Jonathan Bolin. And I'm just doing...
Is Bo hurt?
Doing a quick perusal here to see if there's anything anywhere that suggests why this might be the case, or if it's just simply Bo getting a day off. It appears as if he's just getting the night off.
Well, that's odd because he rarely, if ever, gets those.
No, I'm just saying I have not.
Early in the season, be getting them for him.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. I don't know what's going on, which is not unusual for me.
Can't remember him diving or you know, that one time he dove, he was grabbing his midsection, but that was games ago.
Yeah, and he, I mean, that would be something. I'm sure Bo's been given a day off in the past, hasn't he?
April.
Oof, yeah,
I disagree with that.
No. It's April.
It's good for him. I'm glad they're doing it.
No,
if it's just a day off and he's not injured or tweaked or, you know, tired or tight or any of that, then good for him. Like every once in a while, a guy just needs a mental break to walk away from it. But hopefully they don't have to have him pinch hitting in the ninth inning against a dude throwing a bazillion.
Yeah.
Kansas City don't have a ton of them dudes, but.
This is funny. I'm just completely removed from that. But the Orioles and the Orioles and Yankees are playing tonight. And Aaron Judge is in left field for the first time in his career. I don't know why, it kind of got my attention.
Mm.
That'd be a big series for the Orioles. Yankees, so anyhow, for the Yankees too, we'll wait and see if there's any update on Bo Bichette. John Schneider should be doing his availability soon, but again, Bo Bichette not in tonight's lineup for the Blue Jays. And we told the story about Chipper Jones coming on our show and talking about when he played, going to Bobby Cox and saying, give me 48.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. Give me 48 hours. And
Bo ain't wired that way.
No. And Buck also made the point that, and it is an interesting point, you'd like to know, was that Chipper Jones after his seventh All-Star appearance where he went to Bobby, or was that early? Was that early in his career?
No, I'm sure it's not early. You're never going to walk up to a Bobby Cox in your third year of being a big leaguer and say, "Hey, Bobby, I'm gonna need 48." I mean, that's common sense. That's not the case.
But I guess what I'm saying was that. Let me rephrase that. Was that late in his career?
I'm sure it's in the middle.
2 years or in the middle.
I mean, he's been around he was with Bobby forever. I mean, the communication factor, I'm sure, is on point. And you earn sometimes having the conversation with your manager and saying that, "Hey, Skip, I need a couple of days to figure this thing out." You ain't going to do it in your first 3 years. I mean, and I don't think Bo's wired that way anyway, at least the Bo that I've talked to. So hopefully he's okay, and hopefully they're just giving him a day because they feel like he needs it, and that's okay.
We haven't really I was just looking up his numbers right now. We haven't really talked about him. We've talked about him in passing, but David Schneider's had a nice week.
Yeah, he's moved closer to the plate.
For the Blue Jays.
He's trying to catch the breaking ball before it breaks. I mean, that's common sense. You want to play more, you make adjustments. You make obvious
adjustments. He's got a huge OPS with runners in first base. I'm looking at some of his late and close at bats. He's having a decent season.
I mean, he's not playing every day. He wants to play more. Like, guys that want to play make obvious adjustments. I mean, he knows the challenge is the ball up. You try and get it before they can throw strike three to you on the ball up. I mean, it's like, I don't want to say it's genius, but man, it makes too much sense. You're sitting around going, "What can give me a better chance of getting in a lineup more? Okay, I need to hit that breaking ball down and away a little bit better. If I can do that, how do I do it? Scoop closer to the plate." I've been saying that forever, Jeff.
But again, it's hard.
It's very hard to do that. It's hard for established guys to do it. It ain't hard for David Schneider's in the world to do it, because David Schneider sees what nobody else is doing a lot of, and he's thinking to himself, boy, you know how you get paid more? It's to play more.
And I keep pushing. I can keep pushing my case by doing this.
Not a ton of people are hitting the ball like I'm hitting it. What if I started hitting it just that much more? I'm going to play more. The more I play, the more money I'll make. It's about making money. I mean, it's you walk up. It sounds to me like he's walked up to a coach, and Turner, I think Justin Turner told him that too. You know, get close to the plate, catch it before it breaks. What? No khakis ever told me that. Like, it's just that some of those things are just so obvious that you wonder.
So what are you going to look for? We touched on Yariel Rodriguez. But, again, tonight he doesn't have – I'm not going to call it that security blanket, but Bowden Francis isn't there, and in the past they've kind of piggybacked. So what are you looking for from Yariel Rodriguez in the first and second inning tonight?
Yeah, I think he's been throwing enough strike once. He's above league average, which is good. League average, mm-hmm. 60%. He's about that, almost 64%. He's been doing that enough. I think – the velocity on the fastball is a big deal for him. Again, he's not a location guy. He's a stuff guy. He wants to go outer thirds and not on the black, which is fine. That's you got good enough stuff. Don't be afraid to do that. And it's just trust your stuff throughout the entire at bat. If you got a good one, the hitter's telling you got a good one, continue to throw it. That way you'll get a little deeper. And then John don't have to go to somebody he didn't want to go to. John wants to go to two guys tonight, not four or five guys. So I think he's been in the big leagues now long enough to understand maybe don't as much drop down sidearm with two strikes. Trickery, you don't need to do that as much. You can do it occasionally, maybe second, third time through. You want to get a big out, you give a guy a different look who hasn't seen that. But until that, attack, attack, and attack some more. And if you like a fastball and they're pushing curveball or slider and you don't want to throw that thing, you can shake off, you can step off and attack with the fastball. Be better at reading bats, attack with two strikes. You do that, he can give you maybe six innings. Six innings is better than four innings. The 80 to 90 pitches through four innings, he got too good of stuff for that. It's time. You've thrown in the big leagues enough. You're old enough. He's 28. He ain't a kid. He's 28. You've been out there long enough now to know that, you know, what you've done so far is good, but it ain't good enough because of how much stuff you can play with on a consistent basis. Now,
did you find that interesting, what Papelbon said about understanding that he's a reliever? Relievers are different than starters, but that very seldom do you come out of the bullpen with command of three or four pitches. Generally, it's two pitches that you have command of in any given night.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming out of the pen with six pitches. He's going to attack with a slider and a fastball, and he's going to, after he establishes those, he'll sprinkle in the other four. He'll sprinkle. He'll dabble. That's why everybody says fastball command's important. Just don't angle it. Like, why throw it here when you can consistently throw it here and it has late movement and you can control it more and you're more efficient in and at bat? You're not going four and a half pitches in at bat, now you're closer to that four mark, which will get you deeper in the game. That's the whole thing I think they're trying to get him to do, is just be consistent with what your stuff is doing and let the hitter tell you what you want to do to him. So, yeah, he's not playing with six of them when he runs out of the pen. He's only playing with about two of them, and then he's going to sprinkle in the split and the curve and the all that other stuff that he wants to throw. It's just that's why everybody says, every catcher you ever talk to says, command the fastball. Kevin Gausman's a prime example of that. Control the fastball. You get him in swing mode. You'll get him sped up so you can throw your secondary stuff and get away with some stuff. He does that. But I put a little pressure on him. If I'm Pete and John, I'm putting a little pressure on him. The leash is longer tonight. I'm getting after him. Yeah, you know, we're not going to come out there and get you with 80 pitches in the fourth inning. Go get him, buddy.
Don't be looking in. Don't be looking in the dugout.
Go get him.
Don't be looking in the dugout.
Got great stuff.
7:07 is the first pitch tonight, the first of three between the Jays and the Kansas City Royals, and the Jays have the day off, and they're off to Washington to take on the Nationals. Blair and Barker will be doing Blue Jays talk all week long, including following tonight's game. So watch the game. Give us a call afterwards. Keep us company. And don't worry about the Leafs. You got a night to forget worrying about the Leafs. Enjoy the baseball. We'll chat tomorrow.